Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 3rd. Joining us this morning, noted CPA and all-weather traveler, Bill McCauley.
Indeed, yeah.
What was 199 like?
It was an interesting trip last night.
Oh.
Two cars upside down in the ditch that when we went by, and then about five cars in the ditch, and then there was another one down. There was snow on the road in Klamath. There was a car off the road at Klamath. Anyway, it was quite a
really. So the whole way you had
we left Medford at 4, and it took us almost 5 hours, which it's normally about 3:40. So. It was a
little bit slower time.
It was slow, and the emergency response people really. You watched the California snowplows did a great job. The California side of 199 was in really good shape. The Oregon side, of course, they got more miles. It was because it was snowing in Grants Pass. So, I mean, it was snowing all the way on 199. Matter of fact, it snowed. You know, there was snow on the road on 199 all the way until we broke through the redwoods to get onto 101.
Oh, really? Just right at the overpass?
Yeah.
Oh, so it was a white New Year's.
Yeah.
Good idea, wrong timing.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I was thinking, well, I got to get back for Talk Shop. So,
you know, anyway. That just seeps into people's minds.
Exactly. People will really miss me.
Oh, boy. So everybody was pretty much going slow, or they were going off the road, huh?
Yeah, I did have a couple people pass me in places I thought, you're an idiot. But anyway, we my wife and I have a new expression for people like that, but I don't know if I should use it on the
air. Oh, I see.
It's actually safe, but it anyway.
Sounds more like a sports broadcasting term
than
others. Yeah. Okay. Well, this morning we'll be talking a little bit about some of the things to put together on your checklist here. It's that time. But before we do, our quote this morning comes from Thomas Paine. Yeah, I wonder if he was a Paine.
I think
by definition,
certain to
probably.
Some people, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Such is the irresistible nature of truth that all it asks and all it wants is the liberty of appearing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like doing your taxes without faking.
Right.
It. Yeah. So to speak. Yeah, there's so many different options that are out there now. Is there a sounding board for the software programs and some of those different internet-based options that are there? Is there a generic reference that grades the quality of those things?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I think that there's a number of, I think people make the choice based on a number of criteria, but I don't know of anything out there that's evaluating. On the IRS, I think if they were catching undue errors, would probably have an issue with a particular software vendor, though.
Huh. You'd think that Consumer Reports or somebody would have something out there just to guide the unknowing.
You'd think.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. Back Talking Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Well, we made it through 16. We're now staring at 17.
Isn't that something? It's amazing. You blink your eyes.
This aging thing?
Yeah, it seems like, anyway, just it's amazing how time flies by. And I remember really listening to other people make comments about how fast time went. But my only universal observation about those people is that they were old. And so apparently I are one now, because I'm constantly talking about how fast time goes by.
And those who look like we feel look at you kind of funny, go, yeah, old man.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Well, this time last year we were talking, and the feds hadn't really come out with anything concrete yet for you guys with your software and the various programs that the professionals use.
Yeah.
Better situation this year, or is it a similar situation?
Far better situation. The IRS, I think, is going to open e-filing on the 17th. Just because of the nature of our business, we don't have that many returns that get filed early like that. We tend not to just do a return with a W-2 in it. That doesn't mean we don't do a few of them, but for the most part, returns we do have a little more complexity. So we probably won't be doing a lot in our office at that point, but that is the opening of the filing season. There are some interesting things that the IRS is trying this year, with the idea of trying to increase compliance and reduce fraud. And so it'll be some interesting burdens on business, as well as on those of us in the accounting profession.
Pray tell.
Yeah.
Share.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the big things is that the 1099 filing requirements, they've always been due to the recipient by January 31st, but there's been some flexibility in terms of when those documents had to be filed with the IRS. And that's meant that in effect, where somebody, a payor might get that to a payee, 1099 to a payee a little late, but it'd still be under the wire for getting it to the government. And there was kind of a no harm, no foul kind of deal.
Like February 5.
Yeah, well, or even the end of February, the e-filing of those doesn't have to occur until the end of March in some cases. So there's been some flexibility in how people have been able to get 1099s done. This year, the IRS came out and said that they want the 1099 miscellaneous box 7 non-employee compensation forms to be they need to be finished by January 31st and filed. So what they're doing is they're trying to shorten that time frame on getting those documents out. And so that means that for those clients in our case, for those clients that we're helping to get their 1099s done, January 31 is really, really important. And so we're looking at that, and with the idea of making sure that we help our clients be compliant, because there are some penalties associated with failing to comply with that timeline. We do understand there is some extension available, but I don't know what that looks like right now. So what we're doing is we're encouraging all our clients to get those things done as soon as possible.
Now, is that going to change for the employee? And when they receive
The 1099 would be, no, they should be getting them January 31st. The reality is that in some cases that hasn't always happened. This is now going to mean you need to have those in the mail to the recipients January 31st, and you're going to be filing them, which is shortening, that filing used to be February 28th. So there was always this kind of functional wiggle room between, you could paper file those returns February 28th or 29th, as the case might be. And so you still had kind of a month after January 31st to clean up stuff that wasn't dealt with. The IRS, I think, it's a slippery slope here. Once they start having a pretty rigid compliance regime for 1099s, then it becomes really difficult to advise a client, what do you do? Do you file the one that's late because you know you should have, or do you not file it and pay a penalty because it's late, or do you not file it and with the idea that what's the likelihood somebody's going to catch me? I mean, the reality is, I think once you institute a penalty regime, you make it harder for people to comply voluntarily. I think there's downsides to that. And
code enforcement, it really hasn't been one of the strengths, but yet we seem to be embracing that as the solution, because there's just a base mistrust now with a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about the IRS here.
Yeah, I know, so, I know, yeah.
That's taking it to a new level. I mean, the point is, it gets difficult to counsel a client. I mean, all I try to do is explain, here's the consequences. You're required to file this form. It's late. There's going to be a penalty on it because it's late. Or you cannot file it. And the inevitable question is, well, what happens if I don't file it? Well, if you don't file it, then you're supposed to. But if you don't file it, here's, the reality is, what's the chance you're going to be caught? I don't know. But, you're probably not going to be caught. And so, but that's a hard thing to advise someone to not comply with the law.
And I've found the threat of firstborn really is almost an attraction for breaking the law. Yeah. Oh, your case
okay,
too, huh?
Yeah. Let's think that through a little bit.
Yeah.
And Winston's pushing buttons today, so we need to be nice.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley, noted CPA. Could be a flat note, but he's still noted. Yeah.
A dull note.
Yeah. Talk Shop presented by Redeck and by CDH Painting. Bill, looking at what this year means, if for the businesses, it means the 1099s have to come out as advertised, and the reports as advertised. Are there other areas that haven't received much attention in the past, either at the state levels or at the federal level, that are going to get a little bit closer scrutiny this year?
Well, they don't always throw a big flashlight beam on the direction they're headed. So sometimes we don't know where they're going until they've gotten there and they're knocking on the door. But we don't always have a sense of what those things are going to be. I think that from the standpoint that the state continues to scrutinize certain transactions that they find are interesting to them. We're seeing targeted audits or questionnaires on certain types of transactions. One of the things that the state's really interested right now is tax-free exchanges, where somebody sells a piece of property or exchanges a piece of property that they had in California into a piece of property that's out of the state of California. So what that means is, let's say I have a piece of property I paid. Let's just say it's a piece of land. I paid $25,000 for it 30 years ago, and I just and it's now worth $500,000, and I want to get a piece of land in Nevada. So I say, hey, I'm going to do a tax-free exchange. I can exchange out of that land in California into land in Nevada, and I don't have to pay the income tax on the sale of that on the sale or the relinquishing of my interest in the California property. What it does mean is I've got basically deferred gain tied up in the new property. So it means I got a low basis in the new property. Sooner or later, when I sell it, I'm going to pay.
That's in a tax-free state.
Yeah, so in my example, we went to Nevada, right? So now I took this piece of property from a state that has a top tax rate of, say, let's call it around, on average, the upper end's paying around 9 or 10%, can go to 12 or 13%, depending on facts and circumstances. I now have moved into Nevada. I wait 5 or so years. I sell it in Nevada. I pay the federal income tax, but I don't have any state income tax in Nevada, right? Because California says, no, you got to keep track of the fact that you have a reduced basis in California and it affects the carrying value for California purposes, and you have to report that gain if you sell the property in Nevada.
So now we exchange with somebody who's in Nevada, just to keep it simple, mm-hmm. and they pick up the California property at a heightened level. Mm-hmm. Aren't they paying taxes at that heightened level?
Well, here's what happens. It depends. So let's say the person who you can do these tax-free exchanges where you don't really have to have you're not you can it can be an accommodated exchange where you're acquiring. It's not necessarily the same person owning both properties and doing a swap.
Parties.
So the person who acquires the property in California depends on their circumstances. What did they do? Well, you know, how did they come up with the funds to pay for it? Did they come out of a tax-free exchange or what? The point being, there's now a tracking mechanism and a form that you have to fill out when you have one of these transactions and when you leave the state of California, and you're supposed to file it in your tax return every year thereafter. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen if I move completely out of the state of California and I no longer have any income from California, I no longer have a filing requirement in California, except I've got this cost basis issue and this one form that California wants to see. I haven't run into that. You know, I'm sure I will before long, but the point being, California is interested in trying to make sure that they don't lose sight of the fact that somebody did a tax-free exchange out of a property in California and reduced their basis somewhere else. California says, we still get our pound of flesh out of that when you sell it.
Is California getting as aggressive as other states are with some of the, like the Hollywood folks and the professional sports folks and the musicians and getting their income tax for performances or time spent in the state?
Oh, yeah.
So let's say we're on the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we come in and we play the A's.
Right.
And then go down to California.
Go down and play the Angels.
Yep. Okay, and then we get out.
Right.
So in theory, prorated out, that's maybe, 5% of our season is there. I don't know. I guess you get paid per game rather than per day of the year.
Yeah.
Just for our simple little analogy here. Mm-hmm. Does California get, are they going after that piece of their compensation?
Absolutely. And it means that professional athletes and entertainers have some pretty unique tax
filing in 20
issues.
Or 30 states?
Yeah. And so they end up, they tend to work with people who specialize in doing that kind of work. Because it's you know, I mean, if I had one professional sports athlete, I don't know that I'd want to do the work because of what's involved to make sure I'm doing it right. But what you would typically see is that somebody who would be doing that would probably be doing a number of those kinds of returns and dealing with that, because you are exactly right. But then you go to Texas. Well, there's no state income tax in Texas, you know. So it depends where you're going to end up playing. And that's kind of an interesting issue, too, because just from the standpoint of economics, you know, you look at the 49ers, they just fired their general manager and their head coach. Now they're going to go out and try to hire new people. Well, they're going to bring them to California. Well, if you try to go hire a guy from the Cowboys, he's used to not paying state income tax. You bring him to work for the 49ers. Well, now all of a sudden that same person making the same amount of money is now got a 10% or 12% tax hit because of the pleasure of being in California. So
well, I know
interesting competitive issues
some
arise.
Of the athletes, when they look to sign, that's part of the equation that they have, even though most of us are, I guess, either ignorant to it or just blind to it when they make their decision. You go, really? The Marlins?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You just gave yourself a signing bonus.
Yeah, it still doesn't help the Rays much.
No, hasn't proven to. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, I suppose the extra little twist this year is the legalization of recreational marijuana. Okay, medicinal would have been tough enough, where it's legal in the state, illegal outside the state. So is there going to be a push by Sacramento to get those within California to file state income tax, which I would think, doesn't it automatically go to the feds?
Wait a minute. People that have been growing cannabis haven't been filing tax returns?
It would seem like Fourth Amendment or you're really kind of like where Mike Downey and the sheriffs have been for a long, long time. You're kind of betwixt and between.
Yeah. And I think it's going to take years for all this to shake out because – I don't think there's a clear. I mean, I think there's questions about any path you take. I don't pretend to be an expert on cannabis taxation. I don't do it. I don't really know anything about. I don't know that much about it. But that being said, there are a number of issues. I mean, first of all, you still, with regard to the action that was taken at the federal level, at the state level, you still have a Schedule II narcotic, you still have an illegal drug, and you are still stuck with the federal compliance issues associated with revenue from that. And that means that, there's a loss of certain deductions when you report the income. Because all you can take is cost of sales against the income. You can't take your operating expenses as a deduction.
Let's try to parallel it with Nevada and prostitution. Illegal nationally, legal in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Do those folks file state income tax and not federal?
Well, it's Nevada.
Well, okay. So we launder it and so then we file it.
There's no state income tax. In Nevada, so they're going to have to file based on the federal rules if they're going to report the income, and they should, or they're going to have the IRS will come and shut them down. Like I don't remember why. There's been some relatively famous brothels that are shut down by the feds, and probably some of that was tax evasion. I don't know.
And there was no body of Al Capone there.
Apparently not, or Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, the future will be interesting. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.